Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Hey everyone, my name is Asher Roddy.
And this is Tyler Whipple.
Welcome to Talking Two-Tone.
We're thrilled to bring you a new and thought-provoking podcast that talks all things Tennessee Titans.
Go ahead and reserve your ticket now. It's going to be an incredible journey. Tighten up. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Talking Two-Tone. My name is Asher Roddy, and I am joined by the best co-host in the business, Tyler Whipple. We have got a shit ton to talk about this time around, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Let's cap it off first, though, you know, before we get into the drama that has been the NFL week. Let's talk about those games this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, dude, I found myself in a catch 22 with the Bengals and Chiefs. I hate both of them, but I hate Jackson Mahomes so much that I'm glad that he didn't get to do a stupid TikTok and he has to stay in his drafts and look at it forever. God, that kid is so fucked in the head. I mean, I think he needs to be hit by like a stampede of elephants, like big time, all at once. Hell, I mean, I don't know, but that kid needs to be banned from every NFL stadium and probably, you know, just completely exiled from the sports world. He needs to be out of the spotlight. All he does is these stupid little dances. He has no talent. His brother has all the talent, and he has to come home after a loss to that fucking creep and his psycho wife.
Well, you know, when it rains, it pours, you know. So, that, I mean, that's the situation poor Pat's in. I would say poor Pat. But that game, like you said, it's kind of a bittersweet. It makes me feel better about our loss since we lost to the AFC representative of the year. But at the same time, it makes you think we should be the AFC representative because we absolutely dominated the Bengals in the trenches. And you never lose games. Majority of the time in the NFL, if you dominate both sides of the line of scrimmage, you win games, and it's a stain on our season and the Titans franchise for a little while. It's going to be hard to get over it for a while.
Should have been us.
It should have been us. Because we've already showed we can beat the Chiefs, and I know we can beat the Bengals. Play them. I really honestly think if we played the Bengals 10 times in that same exact scenario, we probably would have won 8 times. And they just caught us in a bad night where we had a lot of turnovers. And that's – the 6 losses the Titans had in the season, they were turnover riddled. So you know, they just caught us in that game, you know. So, and then if you look over to the NFC, Jimmy Garoppolo has showed like, you know, he's limited. Like our quarterback, I think he's a better, but Jimmy Garoppolo, our quarterback is more physically gifted than Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo turns the ball over a little more. And
Jimmy Garoppolo is a sexy man, though.
I mean, he is beautiful. I mean, he absolutely has a career in TV or whatever he wants to do with his face after. He is a sexy man. I can agree with that 100%. But in that game, you know, his ugly head showed and on the field. And, you know, the better team won. The Rams. And I'm pulling for the Rams, I think, because I want Matt Stafford to win. But at the same time, I still like Joey Burrow a little bit. So, you know,
I like Stafford. Stafford's probably my second favorite quarterback in the league now that you know everybody else is fucking retired. But you know, I've always loved Stafford. You gotta root for the guy. He's been in Detroit for his entire career for 12 seasons, and you know Detroit needs to be, you know, just completely exiled out of the United States. They need to be gone because I know they're not a state, but the whole fucking place needs to be blown up or gone. Just cut out. Send him to Canada. Hell, Canada probably won't even take him. But, no, I'm happy for Stafford. Like, he deserves it. That guy is – he never complained once until, you know, they failed him. Much like the Cavs failed LeBron James his first time around in Cleveland. And, you know, and Calvin Johnson with the Lions and Barry Sanders with the Lions. And so I'm happy for him. I'm really rooting for Stafford. And his wife beat brain cancer, I believe. So, yeah, it's good for Stafford. And I really am happy for him.
You know, my dad, he had a saying that's a little more colorful than this. You know, you gotta eat a little crap to go take you a crap. So, and I think that's the epitome of what, you know, Matthew's been through in his career. You know, he's taken so much and done so much and, you know, with so little. Calvin Johnson was the only player he's ever really played with that was really, really – I guess the second best receiver he ever had was Nate Burleson or Golden Tate, and that says a lot, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, it sucks for Stafford.
I really enjoy seeing him get to play with these guys and Kupp and Beckham and Robert Woods, and he's healthy, and he's got a pretty good running game there, which Sean McVay usually always does. So. But, yeah, that's our takes from that. Moving on to Tom Brady, you know. But first thing I want to say about Tom before we get into his actual retirement, if he wanted to hold that information and somebody leaked that to Adam Schefter, and Adam Schefter knew he was going to make that announcement, him and Davenport, I think, was the other one to not Davenport. What's the other guy?
Rappaport.
No, it was somebody else who was like co-signed on the announcement with Schefter. This guy has played 22 years in the NFL, dominated the league for this long. Let him have his day, man. They took his thunder. You know, I feel like Tom Brady wanted to announce it himself, and it kind of got took away from him. So I think that's why he delayed it after that and kind of pushed the rumors back on Schefter. Just let the guy have his time. You know, he deserves to have his own private, you know, retirement speech or post. Everybody has to be first these days, and I hate it. So that kind of ruined the whole thing. Because, you know, we didn't get surprised. It would have been awesome to open up, because I follow Tom on Twitter and Instagram. So it would have been cool to just be scrolling through my feed and see Tom Brady retired. So he kind of ruined that moment for, you know, everybody who's grew up watching the guy play. I mean, he's been playing the entire time I can even fathom football, and it's crazy. So I think he kind of ruined the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Adam Schefter for obvious reasons. He does. I mean, his journalism is like Bush League. It's like he doesn't care about privacy. He doesn't care about anything except getting the story out first. That's all he cares about. And it invades privacy in an era where it is becoming more and more apparent that people should be allowed to speak for themselves. And he kind of took that away. And that, I mean, I'm going to be quite honest with all the viewers here. I never really liked Tom Brady. I still don't really like Tom Brady, but I respect the guy. You've got to respect him for what he was able to do. And, you know.
Well, Tampa Tom's different. Tampa Tom, yeah. Florida Tom, he's a Florida man now. He's just different. Yeah. He got extremely likable when he went to Tampa Bay for whatever reason. And maybe because he kind of let loose, but. I kind of got to where I really like Tom Brady to admire what he's done. So I used to hate him, too, because they ran the AFC for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the guy for his accomplishments and his play. And, you know, Schefter just really ticks me off. He's like a little hedgehog is what he looks like. And he's so annoying, man. And most of the time, he doesn't even fact-check anything. Like, I don't even know. I mean, he never cites his sources. It's so frustrating. Like, first thing you're supposed to know when you're doing any kind of research is you got to fucking cite your sources, man.
Peer review that stuff.
Good God. But moving on, though, I did think it was pretty funny that Tom really didn't mention the Patriots. That was pretty petty. I liked it. I fucked with it.
Well, Keen Petty there, the picture he posted was when they went to New England and won the game. So that was the first picture that was on there. So I think that was like – that was one of those – little jabs that a lot of people didn't understand really how creatively petty that was. Yeah. All the pictures he could have used, you know, he could have used his Super Bowl holding up a championship, the Lombardi in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform, but he decided to use a picture of him at New England beating his former team, which I just thought was hilarious. So
yeah, didn't make one mention of the Patriots either, which was hilarious, man. Hilarious to me.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people say that, but, you know, he already kind of gave his goodbyes in New England. So
2 years ago, yeah. But you still gotta throw a photo of, like, you holding up your jersey or whatever when you first make the team or something along those lines. You got to do it, you know. But at the same time, it's Tom Brady. He doesn't have to do anything. So anyhow, moving on. I thought that was a great petty troll by him. It was creative. You know, he's a funny guy now. He's kind of, I like his personality more and more. But, you know, we got to talk about the bombshell in the NFL. All right. Belichick texted the wrong Brian. He texted the wrong Brian, Tyler. He knew Dabble was getting the job. And it's so scummy, man. Because, you know, the Giants totally shafted Brian Flores. First of all, I'm going to go on a soapbox for about probably a minute and a half here. Brian Flores should 100% be a head coach in the NFL. He should have never been fired for refusing to tank games and tamper with player signings. He is a good head coach. He is a defensive-minded head coach. And he was turning around that damn organization. And, you know, this is becoming more and more apparent in today's NFL that no matter how good you are, no matter how good of a player, how good of a play caller you become, how good of a coach you learn under, as a black head coach in the NFL, you are going to have an extremely short leash, and you are supposed to obey these all white, predominantly white NFL owners. And it is becoming ridiculous that he still does not have a job. If the Jaguars somehow fumble the bag bigger than, you know, Birdman fumbled every, I mean, good. You know, let me compare this to like the modern day audience here. You know, God damn it. Byron Leftwich should be the head coach of the Jaguars right now. The search should be over. But the Jaguars are so dysfunctional. They're running the organization as well as Birdman runs Cash Money Records. I mean, it's unbelievably poorly run. And, you know, it's the obvious choice. I don't know why you need to interview anybody else. Go get Byron Leftwich. Brady endorsed him. Go get your coach. He's a former Jag. Bring him home. Go get him. All right? But Brian Flores has every right, in my opinion, to be suing the NFL. And if I'm these, you know, owners of these teams, my asshole is puckered tight because he's got screenshots. He's got screenshots.
Yeah, and I agree with a lot of it. I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, a lot of this, you know, it's kind of hard to say and prove that there's overwhelming racism. And if you sit here and say if somebody just says, hey, there's no racism involved at all, you know, they're obviously lying or they're just completely naive, because there's always going to be some sort of racism when there is an elite white status in America. And everybody knows that. I mean, it's obvious, but you got to take it a little bit case by case basis at times. And I kind of think Brian Flores has, I feel like he's going to get Colin Kaepernick here. I really do. I mean,
absolutely is. He's going to get blackballed from the NFL, but he's being brave. At least he's speaking.
Well, I mean, I think you can call it brave, but I really think it's naive on his part, because look, who fired him, and I get the whole text messages with Bill Belichick. That's obvious. Bill Belichick, that does, you know, that gives a little leeway in here, but. Who fired – Chris Greer is one of the only black general managers in the NFL, and he's the one who fired him. So there's one thing. He's already been a coach for 4 years, so there's another thing. So he has had opportunity, and I get he's trying to be the poster child for the black coaches, and I understand that. Somebody needs to do it. But Brian Flores could have been a coach, not maybe this cycle or next cycle. So I don't really understand if he – maybe he's just dead set on getting the New York Giants job. That's maybe it was his dream job. Maybe he really, really wanted it, and that's what really – hurt him, you know, I get it. You know, I understand where he's coming from. I'm not saying I'm completely against what he's doing, but I really think he would have been a head coach in the next – if Josh McDaniels can get hired again, who was horrible in Denver, Flores would get a job again. So I don't understand really why he's doing it, him himself. That's why I'm saying case-by-case basis here. Like, Matt Joseph hasn't got another job. He got fired 1 year with a horrible, horrible quarterback who they drafted 10th overall, who never had really have a chance, Vance Joseph in Arizona. So
what about Hugh Jackson? So, like, Hugh Jackson's kind of who I go to here, right? So he gets told to do – it's a very similar situation with Hugh Jackson, right? He gets told that he has to tank games, and he said he's not going to do it. They were just inherently bad enough to only win one game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, tanking for the draft. And I think the NFL is outdated. I think they need to go more towards the lottery. I think that has to – that's the only way you can get rid of tanking is to go towards a lottery pick.
Well, I know all about the Cleveland franchise. Let me start before I forget this point. Jimmy Haslam is the head booster for Tennessee. And you know how bad – you know I'm a Tennessee football fan if you guys are listening. Tennessee's been terrible ever since the Haslams have been involved. That's just what they do. They take too much control of the room, and they really don't know what they're doing. And that's what happened. I think Hugh Jackson just got caught up in that. And Hugh Jackson, I believe, could be a good head coach in the NFL. Lovie Smith. How did Lovie Smith never get recycled? You know,
they sent him back down to the fucking college ranks. Mike Tomlin is the only African-American head coach in the NFL. He's the only one. He's had he got put into a great situation, too. So
yeah, he took over for Cowher, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so if there's definitely a disparity here, and especially when 70% of the players in the NFL are African American, like there needs to be more change. Like there, you know, the Rooney Rule is really, really good, but they're finding ways around it. Like they have to interview a person of a minority for vacant head coaching positions or coaching positions. And they're finding their ways around it by, you know, already predetermining who they're going to hire and just extending the interview process. Basically what we saw.
That's what happened. That's what happened here. That's why I think the Rooney Rule is so dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. It doesn't
work. The Rooney Rule is – I mean, I get what they're trying to put out publicly. Hey, we're going to make sure you interview these. But it doesn't make any sense to do it because all it does is create bad feelings and hardships on these guys. That I'm getting interviewed. Blah 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 blah. I think I got a chance because in those text messages, you could see Flores really thought he had an opportunity with the Giants, but he never did.
He never did. They didn't even consider him. They really didn't even consider him. And then also the Denver Broncos didn't even give him the respect to show up sober.
Yeah. I mean that's crazy. That's a whole other story. But That's absolutely asinine, in my opinion. Give the man at least enough respect, even if you are, you know, practice your interviewing skills at least on the guy.
Yeah, John Elway should know better, man. He should know better. Playing with, you know, being like the consummate teammate and poster boy teammate that he was all those years in Denver. He should know better, man. I mean, that's just not professional and just flat out disrespectful to do that to a bright young head coach. Like literally. This guy could be the guy that takes you over that step.
Well, you know? Flores, I really don't understand it. I don't. I mean, I could see it if it was a Hugh Jackson or somebody who really was taken advantage of. Vance Joseph, one of those guys. Flores would have been a head coach again.
You know what I would love to see from the Titans? Love to see if they brought freaking Flores in, man. If they brought him in some kind of role to where, you know, maybe
replace Jim Schwartz.
Yeah. Replace, you know, Jim Schwartz, and, you know, do it. That would send a shockwave throughout the NFL that Amy Adams is making a movement and putting her foot down and saying, we've got to change the way the NFL is being run. Because everybody knows Roger Goodell is the puppet of the NFL. Like, he does whatever the owners tell him to do. They have so much pull over him. He's like literally a puppet.
That's why he makes $40 million a year.
Exactly, because he does whatever they tell him to do. Oh, you want the salary cap increase? Sure. I mean, it was going to increase anyhow based off of contracts and that kind of shit, but it didn't have to go up as much as it did. But, and you know, it's fucked. I feel for Brian Flores because he 100% should be a head coach. I respect his decision. I think it's brave, and also he knows the repercussions of it. He knows what's going to happen. But, man – it's tough. It's been a tough week for the NFL. But moving on to a lighter note here, we got, you know, since we're not playing, the Titans aren't playing anymore, we'd like to kind of shift our narrative now towards the offseason and getting ready for the product for 2022. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to bring three players every single podcast where we think two of them must come from the draft, who we think would be a good fit for the Titans, and one free agent. And I got to tell you right here, a lot of this is going to come from J-Rob's, like, Senior Bowl magic and shit like that. I mean, he does wonders down in Mobile. And it's really, really cool to see how well he does through the – I mean, people don't give him enough credit for his late round picks. Mm-hmm. They always knock him for the first round misses, but you know how hard it is to pick a first round player when you're picking in the 20s?
He's had some studs though in the first round, so.
But I'm going to tell you the player that I am absolutely the highest on right now. And I'm telling you, I think he could be an electric player. And you know him pretty well, Tyler. I'm going to go with Wandale Robinson, kind of the do-it-all player for Kentucky this year. He's 5'11". He's 185 pounds. He had a monster year this past year. He had 104 catches, over 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. And he carried the ball, 7 carries, 111 yards. I think he'd be a great slot slash flex addition to, you know, kind of, you know, give us that depth so that, you know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina doesn't ever have to be the number one target again. I think we could probably get him if we had a – I'm grading him as a mid-second round pick or a third rounder. I don't think we're going to be able to get him unless we somehow can trade into the second round. But, yeah, I would love to have this player on our team.
That's a great pick. He lit my Vols up. Although the Vols didn't win that game this year, he had like I think he had a buck 40 on us for like 3 touchdowns. So I mean, I know all about the guy. I'm glad he's not going to be playing for the Wildcats anymore. But I'm on the same kind of token with you though. This guy's more of a first rounder. They're saying or early second round, so he could fall right into their area of us. That's Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. Guy's got electric speed. He's kind of like a Wandale Robinson. You can move him around. He's just a little smaller, but he can. He's just got that. We need that guy that can take the top off the offense.
Yeah,
off the defense. Excuse me. And I think that guy would really fit in. He had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns on a kind of bad Penn State team on offense. So if he was surrounded by more talent, I really think he would be special. So that, I'm gonna go with Dotson here. That's gonna be my first out of the draft.
Now the second one I think is just kind of like deja vu here. His name is Isaiah Likely. He's a Coastal Carolina tight end. He's 6'4", 240 pounds. He reminds me of Jonnu Smith, like literally just reincarnated Jonnu Smith. He had 59 catches this year for 912 yards and 12 touchdowns. 12 touchdowns. Yeah, his average yards per catch or his average yards per catch were 15 and a half. He's a great blocker. He's a complete tight end. He's athletic. He's a playmaker. He's lined up virtually everywhere on the offense for Coastal Carolina. He even played fullback a little bit there.
Just like Johnny.
I think he's a projected third rounder, and I think it would be it would behoove oneself to not take Isaiah Likely in the third round.
See, me and Asher think a lot alike, so I figured he was going to pick Likely because I did too. He was one of the guys I had. I have a few here I've got wrote down that I've been looking at mocks and reading and watching little highlights on them, get prepared for the podcast. Isaiah Likely is a real dude. I think he's a better version of Jonnu Smith. He's a more polished route runner, and he comes out of a more passing offense at Coastal than Jonnu did at FIU. So I think I like that a lot, but I've been looking at the guy Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. I didn't know the guy until a few days ago, and I started looking this stuff up.
Oh, the tackle, that man!
He is huge. He's 6'7", 340. He can step in tomorrow and be a tackle in the NFL. So here's the deal. I mean, he can replace Quisenberry or Ray Dunes. I think Ray Dunes is really going to end up being a guard. I really think he's going to be the replacement for Saffold or. And I think that's really where he's going to end up, and I think he'll be good there. But I think Trevor Penning here can come in and take Quisenberry's spot. He plays left tackle, but I know they can move him to the right side. And if Taylor Lewan ends up being a cap casualty in a couple of years, which probably will be, hopefully not, because I love Taylor Lewan, one of my favorite players. But Trevor Penning can step right over on the left side. We can go get another right tackle in the draft. So, I really like him. He's huge. He started – let me see here. He was named on the Walter Payton Award, given the National Offensive Player of the Year as a tackle. That's nuts. So yeah. The guy is an animal. I can't believe he played for Northern Iowa and not a real big Power 5 school. So and some people just get overlooked. He's one of them. He's going to be a first-round pick. And if he falls to the Titans, I think they pick him. I really do. I don't see how they wouldn't.
You can never have enough offensive line depth. Never.
No, and I don't think they really trust Ray Dunes yet. So that's my two, Dotson and Penning. If we could get either one of those guys, I would be ecstatic. So,
yeah, I mean, and also here's the fun part right here. We're doing free agents now. Free people, players. We think they can come in, contribute to the team, and you know, just be like just consistent enough to where if their number's called, they can come in and play. And he might get some starters, but not with the amount of cap that we have. We have to do a ton of work here. I'm going to go with, you know, a player who I think hasn't really had an opportunity, and I don't think he's ever really going to get an opportunity to be a lead back. And I don't know, I honestly don't know why, because I really thought he was really good coming out of college. I'm going to go with Sony Michel. And I think this is very contingent for me, because if, say, Dante Foreman walks, which I think he should, he deserves to, he's going to go be a featured back somewhere. He should. He's going to get paid, and we just can't pay him. And I love the shit out of Dante Foreman. He did so many good things for us this year. But Michelle could come in. He could be that spell back for Derek. He doesn't catch the ball well, but that's why you have Hilliard now. I think it could be very similar. He's got some flashy, lower the shoulder, low center to gravity runs, and he's going to be the best part. The best part about this is, man, I smell something. And you know what? Oh, it's cheap. He's going to be cheap. He's going to sign for maybe $2 million, $2 or $3 million a year, maybe.
Yeah, I like Sonny Michel. They, you know, people call in baseball, you know, there's the term professional hitter. You know, they just could get on base. Sonny Michel feels like that kind of player to me. He's just a professional running back, you know. He doesn't do anything elite, but he does everything decently or good. You know, he's
a great pass blocker too,
and he could take plenty of carries off Derrick Henry next year. You know, if he ends up with 90 carries next year for us, that'd be awesome. I didn't think about Sonny Michel. I like that a lot. If we don't keep Deontay Foreman, which we J. Rob has a way of convincing these guys to stay on for a little cheaper, so. And if some more players are restructuring, you never know. We could keep going on. So, and, you know, Derrick Henry might restructure for him. So, you never know. So, anyway, mine is a little more flashy, and I don't know if we can work it out. But if we do cut some players this year, there's some money. We can save some money on some players. Rashawn Track, when that's a rookie deal, but it's still a first-round pick. This guy is the same way as Sonny Michel. He hasn't had the opportunity because he lacks the help. And this also depends on if we got Isaiah Likely. So if they're a target for him, so I assume the Titans are targeting Likely. But I'm thinking Evan Engram off the New York Giants. If the Titans could snag him for a cheap, since he's had lower production than the last 2 years, if we could get that guy, because that guy is an absolute – I mean, he's Kyle Pitts on a bad offense. He is. People don't realize the guy is big, strong. He's a receiver, big, strong, fast, can block a little. He's Kyle Pitts on a bad offense with a bad quarterback. I think if he can come to Tennessee and get in this culture and play in the middle and, you know, stay healthy because he has struggled with health a little bit, I think that would be a huge, huge, huge get for us, especially as much as Tannehill loves his tight ends. Ferkser could go back to his role where he needs to be, second or third on the team. And – Evan Engram could be our prototypical 70 catches from a tight end, 5-6 touchdowns. If we get out of him, that would be awesome. So that's mine, Evan Engram.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and one thing Tennessee's been lacking, you know, since really Delanie Walker got banged up, was that every down tight end. We've had to use three roster spots consistently for tight ends because you have one that runs routes, you have one that blocks, and you have one that just does both well enough to disguise play calling. That shouldn't exist. You should never carry three tight ends in the NFL. You should carry two. And so we're missing that every down tight end. And God damn it, I love Delanie Walker. He's probably one of my favorite tight ends, Titans and tight ends of all time. Mm-hmm. But it's time to get really excited about, this offseason, man. It's time to get excited.
If going back, Evan Engram's real similar to Delanie Walker. He's been in an offense where he hasn't really been able to excel. So, yeah. Delanie Walker never really got the opportunity. Although he did go make a Super Bowl appearance, he never really had the opportunity to be really what he could be And I think he could be that here in Nashville. I think he could be a Delanie Walker type player for us if he got the targets like Delanie got. So, you know, I'd be really excited to get him on the roster.
Yeah. And one of my favorite Delanie Walker quotes was when they drafted Jonnu Smith, he's like, okay, go ahead and draft him. He still ain't going to play, though. And he didn't. Jonnu Smith did not play when Delanie Walker was healthy. He didn't play at all, man. And it was – just think about that. Jonnu just got $80 million from the fucking Patriots, and he didn't play. He was sitting back wasting 3 years of his career behind Delanie Walker because he did everything well. And Jonnu just couldn't break through that until Delanie had health issues. So, I mean, yeah, I would honestly probably agree with you there that I would rather have a tight end that has played in the league than drafting a guy. But, you know, money is going to be a problem this offseason for us. But anyhow, that's no reason to not get excited. There is some crazy shit happening this offseason. Aaron Rodgers is building a house in Nashville in the Franklin area. And I don't know if that means anything. You know, his brother played at Vandy. But anyhow, he doesn't have a good relationship with his family. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Maybe he wants to come here. Maybe he doesn't. Aaron Rodgers is going to get to choose where he goes. And there's just no way you can do it. You can't stop him. But no, it's time to get excited. J-Rob is working his Senior Bowl magic. He's talked to 25 to 30 players, is what Jim Wyatt's reporting. Aaron Rodgers doesn't know what he's doing. Tom Brady just retired. Tennessee's drafting. Golly, the players, it's free agency is about to start in March. The draft starts in April. Shit, man. This is honestly one of my favorite times of the year.
Yeah, this is where every team is square one. Everybody's back to hoping that they're going to be a Super Bowl champion, you know. This is where the hopes and dreams of your teams are starting. You know, last year when we got Julio Jones, we thought we was automatic Super Bowl contenders, you know, and we were. Once Julio got going, we really were until we had some bad quarterback play in the playoffs again. But let's not dwell on the past, Tyler. I don't want to keep bringing it up. But, yeah, that's just where, you know, this – and especially with the GM like we have and the coach that we have, they're really good at, you know, finding talent in the later rounds that people don't pay attention to, like fifth and sixth round players like David Long and Crookshank and those guys. You know, how many
– Amani Hooker.
How many can you name? You know, all these guys that contribute that Nate he just Davis. Finds later in the draft. It's unreal. So it's
Jayon Brown.
That, you know, used to when I can never think of our GM from last, but I never paid attention to our fifth and sixth and seventh round picks because they never did anything really. They were always practice football players. These guys get in and they fit the culture and they play. So it's a big time deal for Titans in the draft room. So I would love how awesome would that be, Asher, to be in the war room with J-Rob and Mike Vrabel just one year.
I'd cut off a testicle.
You drop a Vrabel would drop a penis for a Super Bowl. You drop a testicle to be in the war.
I'd cut my dick off for the Titans to win a Super Bowl. I would. Without hesitation. I would take
I'm going to have three kids. I would too.
Yeah. So, see, there you go. There's two penises. There's got to be some kind of witchcraft or something for that. But, you know,
we sacrifice.
It could always be worse, though. You know, Titans fans, you know, just think about this. We could be the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they are so bad. And the thing about it is, man, you know, they don't really have anybody else they can compare themselves to. The fucking Lions won more games than they did. And they just traded Stafford away. They're playing with Jared Goff without Golden Tate, without really anybody. And good God, man, the Jaguars are so dysfunctional that they've got their former coach kicking players. They have the first overall pick who probably wants to kill himself. And it's unbelievable how bad they are. They are so bad. It's like watching – it's like rearranging the furniture while Helen Keller's out of the house and then bringing her back in there and watching her try to find her way into the bedroom.
Oh, my God.
It's like that. That's how the organization
is. What an analogy.
Their owner is so bad. He's just clueless. His son is better, way better. I don't know if the Khan family. Is there literally their last name is Khan.
That's true. Tony and Shad. But, you know, speaking of bad ownership and stuff, we haven't mentioned this, and it hasn't even been in our notes, but I'm going to bring it up. Speaking of bad ownership and just clueless organizations, the Washington Commanders, how you had all kinds of opportunities to not make yourself like an XFL team. Those uniforms are terrible, by the way. If you guys haven't seen those, they are so bad. And the Commanders is like the lamest, most generic crap they could have ever came up with. I understand the Redskins was, you know, I get it. I get why they did it, whatnot. So, and the Cleveland Indians did the same thing. So I understand why they did it. You know, if it was, you know, if the people that was affected by it didn't like it, I understand why they did it. But you can come up with a better name than that. You're in Washington, D.C. You know, just pick something else but the Commanders. Have those sorry uniforms. So this is, I want to put that out.
It took them two or three years to figure that shit out. I've thought of way more creative shit fucking blasted out of my mind trying to get my keys into my door to get into my house. Are you kidding me? Like, I've said more creative things out loud when I probably would have blown a 0.2 in a breathalyzer than that shit. And it took them 2 or 3 years. You give me 20 beers and like 10 shots, I guarantee you I come up with something more creative than that. Like, what about the Washington Sentinels? Like, that would have been badass.
Cool. Like, I mean, all other teams in the Washington area have cool, you know, city-centric names. The Capitals. The Wizards suck. That sucks. Okay. Never mind. Take that. The Capitals and the Nationals have got it figured out up there. They've got cool uniforms that's, you know, it's branded like America and stuff. I don't see how you don't. I just don't get it, you know. I don't get it.
This would have been cooler. Like, you know, the Washington Defenders. But, like, nobody wants to come. What do they command? They don't command shit. They're fucking terrible. They're terrible.
But did you see the alternate uniform with a W on the top of the face mask? It's so bad. Like, it's so. I designed uniforms on college football games back when I was a kid better than that. I promise I did. So
W better stand for fucking Wumbo because they're sure as shit not winning any games. I can tell you that.
What a SpongeBob reference. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So bad. So bad. And, you know, I got to shit on the Colts too. Fuck you. Fuck the Colts. You don't have a first rounder and you traded it for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, we're going to end up with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. Y'all give him a first round pick for Carson Wentz. That would be so funny. That would be so funny. So
yeah. Fuck the Colts. Jaguars, I can't even really insult you in like out of anger or like spite. It's like you're so bad, it's sad. And Washington, you had a golden opportunity here to rebrand your entire franchise, and you picked the fucking Commanders with throw-up working uniforms. And, I mean, good Lord. Oregon Ducks have more flair and creativity than you can ever have in Washington. I mean, good God.
It seriously looks like an XFL team. I swear it looks like something Vince McMahon would have designed with wrestling in my opinion, and the name and everything. So, you know what, guys, we've shot the crap for a while now. So, this is how the podcast is going to be going forward until we get back closer to football season again, which is a long ways away. And we're going to try to keep talking about relevant things in the NFL. And we're going to talk, like Asher said, we're going to give you two guys to look at in the draft and one in free agency every week if we can, you know. So we enjoy doing it anyway. Me and Asher just like to talk. We like to talk ball regardless, so it's pretty easy for us either way. But we appreciate you guys listening, and we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Asher, if you got any thoughts to add.
Let's get after this offseason. Let's tackle it. Tighten up.
Tighten up.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, and some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, To learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.